Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm getting a smile, so it must mean you can hear me. What a joy it is to be in God's house with God's people. I'm wondering, did I miss a holiday, though? A couple of our people must be on holiday today or something, but I'm thankful for those of you that are here. And we will enjoy spending time in God's Word together this morning. Let's pray. Father, as we open your Word this morning and look into our study, continue our study in Genesis, I just pray that you will help to be our guide this morning, Father, that it's not me but your Word speaking this morning. And Father, I just pray that each one of us will open our hearts and be receptive to the hearing of your Word. And I pray this in your most precious name. Amen. We started the first week in January in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And we are now about to enter chapter 11. I must be speeding along. I'm in chapter 11 and it's only the ninth month. But this is critical to our understanding of the rest of the Bible to lay a biblical foundation from the beginning of God's Word. God, you know, when we look at creation and the magnificence of all of His creation, and I don't care, I mean, we had a beautiful picture on behind us with a waterfall and stuff this morning, or you go to the desert, and most people don't think the desert's beautiful, but there are certain times of the year when the desert is really pretty. We were just back in Massachusetts last week. It's hard to believe that was a week ago. And the trees, some of the trees were starting to change into their fall color, put on their fall wardrobe. And God does that for us. He created this beauty for us to see. But one of the more important things that we need to realize that we're the only ones that God gave the ability to communicate with. He gave us language so that we could communicate with Him. And aren't you glad that if you need something, this morning we were joking about the thief on the cross making a cell phone call. Well, aren't you glad that when you need to talk to the Creator, to God Almighty, that you don't have to make a phone call, that you don't have to dial up a strange number, that you can just go directly to the King of Kings? In the beginning, God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply and to fill the earth. Then what did He tell Noah when they came off of the ark? Come on. Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Not just once, but twice in that chapter did He tell them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. But we're getting ready to go into chapter 11, and we see a problem. There's a big problem. What did He say? He said, be fruitful and multiply. And fill the earth. Replenish the earth. But Nimrod decided he was going to do it his way. How sad it is when you look at how simple it would have been for Adam and Eve to have obeyed God in the garden. One simple instruction, don't eat from that fruit. They ate. God gave Noah instruction and his three sons, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And now we get down to a great grandson of Noah. So not very far from the flood. and we have a problem that comes up. But let's look at Genesis chapter 10, starting in verse 31. These were the sons of Shem, according to their family, according to their languages in their lands, according to their nations. These were the families of the sons of Noah, according to the generations in the nations. And from these nations were divided on the earth after the flood. And we looked last week at where each of the races came from, and we didn't spend a lot of detail trying to figure out exactly which one was which, but I gave you a couple of resources you could look up to find those. But it says that they were their families according to their languages and according to their nations, and they were in their lands. And the families in the nations and from the nations were divided on the earth after the flood. So God told them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Now the whole earth, in chapter 11, verse 1, the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, what should they have said? Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. But instead, they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had bricks for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. So instead of going out and filling the land, and we see that they had already been divided into nations to go out, but they decided, actually one person probably was the instigator, let's build us a kingdom. Let's build us a great city and a great kingdom. Why do you think that he wanted that? As we look at history and we see leaders, great or not great, that decide they want to unite all of their people, bring all of their people together into one place, what are they doing for themselves? They are trying to elevate themselves into the leader, to the head. Oh, what did Satan do before he rebelled, or in his rebellion against God? He tried to elevate himself above God, and thus he fell because of his pride and arrogance. Now God told them over and over, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. But Nimrod came and said, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. But let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Contrary to the instructions given them by God, he wanted to pull everybody back together into one giant community and build a great city for himself. In fact, there are several cities that he set out to build for himself. And one of them was Babel. And we looked at that briefly last week. That another one, if you go back to chapter 10, verse 11, from the land he went to Assyria to build Nineveh, Rehoboam, Ir, Calix. He decided to disobey God. This is a great grandson of Noah. Do you think Noah told his son what God had said? And do you think that son told his son? And his son told that son? But this son decided to live in rebellion and make himself a great name. He didn't necessarily say, I want to make a great name for all of us, but he wanted to empower himself in a position of authority. And you know, we sometimes see that in religious leaders, we see that in political leaders, that they want to be elevated in a position so high that nobody can touch them. But what do we lose focus of? God. We get our eyes off the Creator. We get our eyes off of God. You know, somebody would say, well, how's your church doing? You know what? This is not my church. This is God's. Actually, we are the church. This is a building we gather together in. You know, and I don't know how God looks at it, but whatever size your congregation is, I'm to shepherd the flock, be the under-shepherd. But I see churches where they're out for fame. We were coming back, we went to a wedding last night, and coming down whatever freeway we were coming down, I get some 110 freeway. Here's a huge picture out by Staples Center. I don't know how big it was, but I could see it very clearly from my car that someone's coming to our city to do some meetings. And I'm like, I told Sharon, I said, I might like to go and hear him, just to hear him preach one time to see what he really says, because I don't know. I don't see him on TV because I'm here. But he's one of the largest churches in this country. He's the pastor of one of the largest churches in the country. And he's been criticized by a lot of people because they feel like he's doing it for his name and not for the sake of the kingdom of God. But when we look at Scripture, and if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image. God's saying, let us make man in our image. But back in chapter 11, verse 4, they said, come, let us build ourselves a city. What'd they do with God? What'd they do with God in this picture? We don't see them giving him his rightful place. There's a process going on here. The groups were supposed to disperse. But Nimrod, we saw last week in chapter 10, was a mighty hunter. In chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And some commentators say that he was a mighty hunter of men's souls. Not so much an archer or a big game hunter, but a hunter of men. And when we look at what he's doing in chapter 11, he decided to build a great city with a tower. And when you think about places that you've been or places that you've seen, like in our capital. Is it Washington Monument? The big tall spire going up out of the ground? You can see it from miles away. And I have this picture that kind of made out of adobe, because they made it out of mud because they didn't have stone, is the tower that Nimrod built in that city. Why? Look what I did. See this tower that reaches to the heavens? I did that. Because that's what we see. We see pride and rebellion because he's not doing what God told him to do. You know what? Many times we know that God wants us, ordinary, normal people, to do extraordinary things for him. but we're like, not going to do it. Don't want to do that. Even though God commands us to do some amazing things for Him, we decide that we just don't want to trust Him and let Him lead us. I believe that Nimrod would fit in well today with some of our brothers, who when you hear them speak, they talk about how big they are. I know I've talked with some of you here that, you know, one of the things that kind of gets you, well, yeah, we had 10,000 people in church this morning. You know what? That's not what it's about. It's about seeing people get saved. It's about seeing the kingdom further. It's not about how many are there. It's not what they've done. It's what God has done through them. Anytime you hear someone, whether it's a pastor or a CEO, say, look what I've done, you need to be worrying about that one, because it's not what I've done. It's what God's doing through each one of us. When they stopped and gathered together to build the city, they were in direct rebellion of what God told them to do. And I've mentioned it several times, but in chapter 9, verse 1, God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. So we think that we can do it our way, but God has His way. Verse 5, the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they began to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. This was a united effort that they were going to do. He had brought them all together to build this great city, this great tower, for Him. But look at verse 7. It says, come, let us, this is God speaking, says, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Let us, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let us go down. And verse 8 says, so the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. God came down and scattered them, thus stopped the building of this mighty city where they were trying to reach their own high standard and put themselves up on a pedestal. Verse 9 says, therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. And the word Babel, and we sometimes use the word Babel, babbling idiot, babbling this, well, that's what God did. He confused their languages. And we've got, in here, we've probably got 5 or 6 different languages that can be spoken in this room this morning. Where'd they come from? God confused the one language. And thus we have languages. How'd they get around the world? They were scattered by God because they were in disobedience to Him. You know, as we look at what's going on in our country today and around the world, not just our country, but around the world, we see so much the need for the Word of God to go out. We have neighbors that are hurting. We have people we come in contact with that are hurting, that need to hear the truth of the gospel. And it doesn't matter whether you speak Tagalog or Spanish or Chinese, English. There are people that need to hear the truth of the word. You know what? We're not here to build a mighty, this is going to go away. This building someday will go away. Man has tried for centuries to destroy the church, but we are the church. But what are we doing as a church to fulfill what God called us to do? Are we reaching out to our neighbors? Are we reaching out to our friends? We could all sit here real comfortable. I've actually thought, what would it be like if we took all the padding off the pews? Oh, I got to. Would we be, you know, we've got friends in Africa that are missionaries that they will go to church for 5 or 6 hours at a time and no seats. They stand for the whole time because there's no seating. They're facing persecution around the world. But that's where God has called them to be, this couple that we know. God's called us right here in this area to minister to those around us. Nimrod wanted a great nation. It failed because it wasn't what God had in store for him. What's he got in store for us coming down the road? I don't know. You know, we've been praying for a long time about what God's will is for us, where he sees us, where he wants us to be as a church. And I firmly believe that we need to be, as I prayed this morning, I shared in Sunday school, we've got neighbors right here that are hurting that need to know who Jesus Christ is. We've got brothers and sisters in Christ right here in the neighborhood that are hurting right now that we need to make an effort to minister to. We need to go out of our great building into the streets and share the truth of the gospel with people that God puts in our path. We have the complete Word of God. Noah's great-grandson had words that were passed down generationally to him, where he knew what he was supposed to do, but yet he chose to rebel and try to do it on his own. And God said, not on my watch. God's like, this is what I've told you to do, and I'll see that you do that. So he scattered them by the changing the language that they understood. And it says that he confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. So you want to know how your ancestors got wherever they came from? God scattered them. That's where they came from. And then in verse 10 it said, this is the genealogy of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begot Arpahshad 2 years after the flood. And he begat Arpahshad. Shem lived 500 years and begat sons and daughters. And we're going to get into this a little more next week. The furthering of the line of Noah. But I guess my concern today is, where are we? Some of you have been in this church years and years and years. Some of you are brand new. Some of you are guests. And we welcome our guests this morning. But where are we as believers, whether you're a member here or not, but a member of God's family, what are we doing to further the kingdom? Let's pray. Father, your word is so precious to us. You've given us so much that we should be hungering daily for your word. Father, we see where this man felt like it was his place to build a city, a great city, several great cities, but this tower to reach into the heavens, Father, to not do what you called him to do. Father, you've called each one of us to a job, to go out and share the gospel with those that we come in contact with. Father, it's our desire to see every pew filled in this church, if that's your will. Father, we know that you desire for us to share. And Father, I pray this morning that if there's someone in this room that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, that before they leave here, they might know for sure where they'll spend eternity. Father, as we looked in Sunday school this morning, even the thief on the cross realized his need to know the Savior hanging on the cross. And Father, each one of us has to make that decision ourselves to accept the free gift that you've given to us. And Father, this morning, if there be one in this room that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, that today might be their day of salvation. And I just pray that you will just give us opportunities this week to minister right here in our own neighborhood to those that are hurting and those that need to know you as their Savior. And we pray this in your most precious name. Amen.
Let us take our hymn books and turn to number 512. 512. Let us stand together and sing My Savior's Love.